When you're ready. All right. Good evening. This is August 12, 2024, 5:30, City Council Chambers, the Employment and Community Relations Committee. The subject matter for today is the magistrate and court administrative salary increase request. Present for this meeting are committee members, myself, Mary Westfall, Marcus Hansen, Doug Hanum, Patrick Richardson, also President of City Council, Mark Fry, and Brian McCann from City Council. Joining us from administration, Mayor Stow, Finance Director Toby Schroyer, Law Director Leslie Brining, Service Director Joe Shaw, Economic Development Director Bill Sanford, also with us, Judge Bon Figlio and Magistrate Cole, and we have representatives from The Blade and Channel 11. So first of all, welcome to the judge and the magistrate. Glad to have you here. We are here today to consider the request from Judge Bon Figlio for a magistrate pay increase from the $126,999 salary that went into effect on January 1st of 2024 to the proposed $142,000 increase. The request is for a mid-budget cycle pay increase of just over $15,000 by literally $1. Today, I'd like to begin by inviting the judge and the magistrate to share your thoughts on why this is important and you know, why the action that's being requested is being requested now in a mid-cycle season. And then after that, we'll invite City Council members to, and committee members first, followed by City Council members to ask questions.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Right, I don't go into this lightly. I know this is a substantial raise that I'm seeking, but I have an incredibly valuable employee that has done amazing things for our court, dragging us into the 21st century efficiency-wise, technology-wise, fiscally. She is doing the role, she is dual role, as you know, as the magistrate and as the administrator. And I believe she has, based on the responsibilities she's assumed and the initiative she's shown, if I had to replace her, I would have to find myself, first I'd have to find a magistrate, then I'd have to find a court administrator, then I'd have to get them up to speed, and that would take years, literally take years. But I'm estimating that for these two roles, at a minimum, it's a six-figure position. At a minimum, it's $100,000 either way. So in my mind, that's $200,000 that if I lose the magistrate to some other entity, now I'm going to have to replace her. I've given examples of the innovations she's brought to the court. It's an endless list, and there's just, you know, I guess the court is our business, and when I find an employee who's that valuable, it merits the increase that I'm seeking today. I think I can justify that based upon what she's done for us, the programs that we now are initiating and where we're going. But, you know, this is an odd situation. You know, and I know, that if I want that to be the salary, that's going to be the salary. And at the end of the day, that's really my call. But I want to be a really, really good partner here. I think we've tried really hard over the last 7 years. The last thing I want to do is get into anything contentious with the administration. We've been blessed. We've got along famously. And so I'm here today ready to answer any questions. If you have concerns, what your concerns are, I'd like to address it right now so that ideally, at the end of this meeting, we're all on the same page, whatever that page may be.
Bishop, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm done.
Okay. Judge, I appreciate your comments, and you made a great point there in sharing with the group that you're working to make sure our partnership continues to be solid, but that ultimately we are all aware that you have the authorization to provide this increase with or without the support of City Council. So Thank you for making sure the committee is aware of that and council is aware of that. I think it would be helpful, I had the pleasure of sitting with you and having coffee and then observing both of you in the court system, which I was grateful for that opportunity. It might be helpful for the committee to hear about the programs that the magistrate has initiated and the impact that she's made. I don't know if you want to address that or if you'd like her to address that, but whatever you feel comfortable with.
I want to just tick off something. I'll let Magistrate Cole talk, but I want to tick off a couple of things. This is more in the line of revenue. What we've done, we've started an in-house collection program and an amnesty program. And the numbers, the new revenue this year from our in-house collection is roughly $130,000. From the amnesty program, it's right around $92,000. And what amnesty is, those are the old cases that people just haven't paid on. And they keep getting collection fees and collection fees and collection fees on top of that. And Magistrate Cole spearheaded with the other courts downtown. They meet downtown, they have a table, they set up, and people can come in and basically, if they're willing to engage in a payment plan or put a lump sum down, we'll forgive some of the past fines and costs. And these are from defendants who are never going to pay anyway. So this is like found money that Magistrate Cole and the other local courts are doing. The other thing is she has started our credit card payments at the counter, our web payments at the counter, things we didn't have with Judge Ramey. I had those totals. Roughly, we're averaging on our web online payments, we're averaging $72,000 a month this year. And on our credit payments, we're averaging about $33,000 a month. And I believe if we stay on track, this is where Magistrate Cole can help me. I think in our 6 months, we'll be close to what we were in total fines and costs last year. Okay. She's so much better at this stuff. Anyways, that's what I want to talk about. Okay. Share with us some of the things, some of the initiatives that you dragged me through.
Well, the judge has been a very transformative leader at the court to allow us to do these new programs. The judge touched on it a little bit, but some of the programs I think we are most proud of are the in-house collection program. We currently, in the past, sent everything to a third-party collection agency where they would add a 30% fee on to the defendant, who a lot of the defendants that we serve and the people that do come through our court are already living in poverty, struggle to have means, so adding that percentage on makes that amount sometimes almost impossible to collect on. So by doing this in-house collection program, we've avoided those citizens, that extra 30% fee. We are charging a small fee for our staff's collection efforts, and subsequently to that have created another revenue stream for the city. This year we've already approximately about $53,000 we've accumulated just from those collection fees. And that's money the city would never have had if we didn't have that in-house collection program. We are blessed with a fantastic staff that go above and beyond, and they're taking on a lot of these efforts in addition to the work that they have already are performing. We've gotten a lot more efficient with a lot of our processes. Been on the bench, and that has allowed us to do these programs without making another full-time hire to run the program. So our collection agency, just to give you a frame of reference, collects on about 18,000 active cases. We're collecting on about 1,900, and we are on pace with them. We are collecting as much money on 1,900 cases, and they are on 18,000. Part of that is also judge has allowed us to try new methods such as batch texting of payment reminders, which has been instrumental in bringing in additional money on these collection efforts. The amnesty program has also been wildly successful. The benefit of that program is not only when we take cases, they're dormant cases, as Judge indicated, out of the third-party collection agency. We removed that 30% fee, which gives quite a break to the person. The city is not impacted by that. They still get their full amount of their fine money to the different police agencies. And then the benefit of that, when they get, when they're able to pay that amount off or be in compliance, is they can get a valid license. And that's such an important thing for our community, to have valid drivers who are insured in the community. Another great thing that we have done is a special docket program. As all of us know, many people in our community and the surrounding community struggle with addiction, mental health issues. These special dockets have allowed us to laser focus on some of these issues and really help individuals. The financial side of that is that program we've brought in grant money for. We just received a $40,000 grant from the Supreme Court of Ohio to offset some of the probation costs to monitor those programs. We also do have a fee that a person does pay when they go through that program, which is also another source that the city receives. So we've tried to be as the judge said, a very good partner with the city. Think of ways that we can not only be fiscally responsible, but also do good things that impact the community in a positive way. So we can be good partners, not only with the city, but also with the people we serve in the community.
And aside from just the fiscal part of it, what we've done is revamped the organization of the court itself. We were just talking today, our dockets are moving so much more quickly. Today, people are getting out of the court in about 45 minutes. They come at 8 o'clock. We're doing a pretty good job. We're running two courtrooms, so we're getting them out of there in about 45 minutes. Where before, it was not uncommon for them to be there at 11 o'clock, 11:30 at all. Judge Ramey ran court late. Routinely, I wasn't there, but I understand it was not odd for him to be there 6 o'clock, maybe sometimes 7. And that's all. We're out of there at 6:30, 4 to 5, and we have a trial at the latest. And so the public, obviously, they love that because they're not happy to be there to begin with. And if they have to wait 3 hours to hear their name call, that just makes them angrier still. So the other thing that Magistrate Cole has started is our core task responsibilities. When I came on, there really was no way to hold anybody accountable. It was really hard to find out why things were not getting done, but the files were stacked up. I know, Ms. Westphal, you made the comment. You came in before our term, my term, and you said how stacked the files were. They were stacked. It was commonplace for the docket. They would two-wheel the docket by my door, and on a two-wheeler, 2, 3, 4 feet high of files. Well, we've got rid of all that. All the files are filed away at the end of the night. These core task responsibilities, you're accountable. CTRs, there's a checklist that Magistrate Cole has drafted for each person, and they have to check if they're current, and if they're not current, how many files are they behind. That's done daily, and in the weekly there's a tally, and she stays on everybody to be current on your CTRs, and if you're not, why aren't you? So that's helped tremendously with our efficiency. We've reduced the dramatically reduced the number of probation files. And, I had a small hand in that, but this is the right-hand person here. These are some of the things she's done that I think warrant this sort of significant raise.
Thank you for your information. I'm sure it was helpful for
the committee to hear that, as well as other members of council who are present.
I'd like to just open it up to questions from the committee members. Anything specific that any of you would like to inquire about?
I have a couple questions, and some of these I think I know, but I just kind of want to make sure and for the record. But what is the specific action that's being requested? Is it a resolution, or what are we looking at here?
I think to start, we wanted a
typically
ordinance. Okay.
And appropriate the additional money because that's not in the budget.
And if so, that leads my next question. Logistically, how would this work? Let's say if the judge granted the increase, how does that work with our budget process? If it's not in the budget?
If the judge does it?
Yeah.
So council wouldn't pass a...
Yeah, let's say hypothetical.
Okay.
We don't pass something.
That would be a court-ordered expenditure.
And that's built into our budget?
That is not in the budget currently. It would be a court-ordered additional appropriation.
Got it. And that comes out of...
The council's court.
Comes out of our fund balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Got it. All right, thank you. That clears a couple things up for me. Thank you.
So how did you, and you did provide, you know, some data around similar roles and salaries, but how did you arrive at the $142,000?
Well, I was really conscious of what I was doing. It is on the low end of similar situated positions. So initially, I was seeking a $20,000, I thought was going to be a $20,000 bump. I didn't realize the city had already increased the salary for that year and a half, so it came out to 15. That's all right. It was one. I thought Magistrate Cole's at 122. I thought 142 should be the number.
And I guess that along those lines, you know, when the two positions were combined and that initial salary was set, was that in line with other municipalities? Was it, were we behind the eight ball, so to speak?
We averaged that. I think I took the average of the three other courts that did that, and I just averaged out, took the average. So this now would be on the lower. It's, quite honestly, it's hard to find apples to apples. It's hard to find courts that employ a full-time magistrate as a full-time administrator.
None of the local courts have that situation.
And also none of the local courts are as busy as Sylvania's as well.
The other question, I guess, is the timing of it. You know, we're in August. Instead of waiting for any budget process or something like that, is there a reason that this is happening now?
You know, no, it's just, I guess it was just, I felt I'm in jeopardy of losing an employee that I need. So I thought, there's no point in waiting. I want to do all I can when I can, and if that isn't enough, then I've done my best. It was an urgency on my part.
And it would go into effect immediately, is that correct? Okay.
The request. Wait,
yes.
Can you talk about jeopardy, the jeopardy issue?
Jeopardy.
Yeah, you said you're jeopardy of losing an employee. What?
Well, I know for a fact that there have been sharks circling, making offers to try to lure Magistrate Cole away. There's sharks circling our clerks. We've lost some qualified clerks to other people. It's. I'm not telling you guys that LA is nothing you don't know. It's a tough work, and to find qualified people. It's difficult, and when they're aware of someone's qualifications, they will make advancements, make offers, and I don't want to see or take one of those offers. So I'm trying to make it as economically attractive as possible.
Offers for similar magistrate?
No.
Court administrator jobs?
No, law director position, some in academia at university, but no, to my knowledge, no one's offered a similar position. No one's created.
So I'd like to open up to the other members of council who are present, since you are here. If there's anything you'd like to ask, to feel free to do so.
Age before beauty. Judge Montefiore, you mentioned that there was a tough market out there, and you want to be as competitive as possible, not just with the magistrate Cole, but also with the other employees. It sounds a little bit like we may have a more comprehensive analytic that may need to be done on just general pay to make sure that we're in the range and market competitive, or am I missing? Am I, maybe I'm reading between the lines, but I'm trying to understand the thought process there.
I think that'd be a really good idea to do some sort of a wage study, for the clerks and the, I know just recently we had one of our clerks, longtime clerk, went from our court to the city, utility division. And we learned that they were paying a higher beginning wage rate than we had been, unbeknownst to us. So we lost a valuable person who went over to the city, and it appears that we may be underpaying our folks. Magistrate Cole does the interviewing, and she does the ads, and we get 8, 9, 10 applicants. And I was talking, I think Kobe mentioned, they had 107 for their spot. And I think it must tell us that our wages must be way low.
So talk to me, if you would, either Judge Montefiore or Magistrate Cole, what kind of turnover have, because obviously I know the administration tracks this, I'm sure, but I don't know this. How many people have left? And to me, I know from listening to comments that the police chief has made that we don't get nearly as many people that are interested in becoming police officers as what we used to get flooded with. So that's somewhat a nebulous thing, but people leaving tells me that they've got other opportunities elsewhere. So how many people have actually left that we've had to bring new people on board?
I can speak to that, if that's all right. Since Judge Bonfiglio's tenure, specifically in the clerk's office, we had 5 clerks leave for other jobs. 3 were at another courts locally. 2 of that 5 were to other mental health providers in town. They were doing probation type work, and so they went to a position that paid more, a companion agency that works with the court. 4 employees we lost to retirements. We had 2 security officers leave, also for higher paying job, one with Flower Hospital and one with another police agency. So most of our, we had only one employee that was terminated due to a violation of a court policy issue. So most of the staff that we've lost has either been to higher paying jobs, other job opportunities, or retirements. Most of the, a lot, I think, I should have had that stat. 4 of the people who did retire, we did not replace 3 of those. So we've been able to make do in other ways.
So part of, I don't want to steal Mr. Tannen's thunder because this is something he gets fired up about every year at budget time, but I'll try to summarize. Part of the challenge is, and you both know this, that the city of Sylvania carries all of the court costs with the exception of a contribution from the village of Hawley, or the entire district that you're both serving, where the Sylvania Township, Springfield Township aren't financially contributing. So there's a substantial imbalance, as you both know, and we all know, that I think in 2023 was about $1 million in beyond revenues that have been secured based on fines and court costs and those types of things that you provide. That's part of the angst associated with some of these questions, is that we have this ongoing and long-term, as you well know, Judge, deficit on how the courts are adjudicated financially in the state legislature. So that's one of the reasons I'm asking the question, because when I hear that there's fewer people going, on the payroll, I'm going from my recollection, I saw a decline over a few years of the deficits getting squeezed, and now that seems to be increasing again. So what can, with fewer people, what causes that? I mean, I don't understand how the courts work, so if you could enlighten me on that would be great.
So There are a couple of reasons for that change. One of the reasons is, and I think, and I was even guilty of this when I came from the prosecutor's office down to the clerk's office, I did not realize how highly skilled and specialized the clerk roles are in the court. These aren't positions that someone can just come in and pick up and learn. These are jobs that are very critical. For instance, at one of our clerks, under something inaccurate, someone had a warrant issue that maybe you picked up. So it's very important things. They have to be critical thinkers and organized and also almost really look at things through the lens of a legal mind. So these are highly skilled positions that often don't get enough credit. So, for instance, in this year alone, we're anticipating 3 retirements. So it takes approximately anywhere between 3 to 6 months, sometimes 12 months based on the position, to have a knowledge transfer. So some of the increases that we've had are anticipating retirements and trying to find the right fits to replace these staff members. So we have worked through the temporary agency most of the time to bring people in and try to train to see if they would be a good fit to take over. We've worked very hard to, anytime we are replacing staff or hiring new staff, to make sure not only are they a great fit for our team and meeting certain standards, but also are degreed and therefore so forth. We've also had to pay more than we have. Our rates from where they started to where they are now to retain individuals, some of those salaries have increased just to retain them because our clerks have had offers at other courts, and we had so much time invested in training them and performing these duties that it would have been a hardship to the court to lose them. So that's part of it. The other thing we have, from where, do you want me to go into the stats here?
Sure.
Historically, before Judge Bonfiglio's tenure, the court employed 25 plus employees. Right now, we are currently doing it with 17 city employees. We use a lot of temporary workers. Right now, I think there's 5 temporary workers. Those are workers that, if they were city employees, the city would be paying, until we can correct me, 15 to 30,000 employees just in the benefits alone. So we've tried very hard understanding that we have to have a certain level of staffing to perform our duties properly and for the public and also these initiatives to be able to send cases to collection and do the collection. We have to have certain minimal staffing levels. But we have tried to be a good partner when we can and not hire an employee or can do it through a staffing agency. We've done that to try to be very fiscally responsible and be a good partner in that regard. But that is some of the reason when we ever anticipate a retirement, that person's still on the payroll, but we'd have to bring someone else in to start that knowledge transfer, which may explain some of those increases.
Would you say 17 court employees?
Right now we have 17, they're city employees. We actually, those are the employees that are actually hired through the city, not working through a temp agency. We have an additional 5 that work through the temp agency right now.
Okay, so we had 25 when Judge Bonfiglio
started. Those are all city employees that you were paying benefits for.
Right.
That's correct.
And those temps are full-time?
Some of them are, some of them part-time. Some of them work varied schedules. And we've tried different things at the court. We've tried to, especially when folks have retired, we've really tried to rethink the workload. Is it something we can parcel somewhere else, do things in a different way? We've really worked hard to be as efficient as possible, but still meet that standard that we're required to meet. And it is very difficult to... as many of you know that are in the private sector, find employees who are dedicated, who are reliable, and who are working for the rates that we initially start at. I've had many interviews where I've interviewed somebody great, and they tell me, I make more working at Chick-fil-A. You're paying less than what I'm making currently. So it's hard sometimes to compete with some of the other wages of other places around.
What's the starting rate then for somebody just starting out?
$19.48 an hour.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee or anyone else?
Is there anything you can do to help us? I'm sorry. Is there anything you can do to help us with revenue here? I'm looking at our court costs over, you know, our court costs of 20 collection. less than they were in 2019 and 2021. You also have control of the over costs that you assess.
Our costs, right, right.
Can you help us with that?
We did, Doug, I remember when I came on board, we did increase court costs. We have not increased the costs since then. We haven't actually talked much about that.
Okay, well, you're asking for, you know, an annualized, what, 15.75% increase for your magistrate and court administrator. Could you do the same? Could you help us with revenue the same way with costs?
Are you asking me to make a commitment right now?
I'm asking you if you will look, okay, yes. You don't want to commit?
I would be happy to look into that.
I want some significant cost increases. That has always been the problem with this court, okay? Costs have never come close to reflecting what the true cost is of filing a case in front of you or having a case adjudicated in front of you. And that's, it's been, I quit having meetings with Scott Ramey about this because I get so red in the face about it. You and I have a much better relationship than I have with Scott, but we need help here. The deficit last year was $1 million, and you know, that's a significant part of our budget, okay? And we're carrying the load for Springfield Township. We're carrying the load for, you know, all the townships in Northwest Ohio. Holland contributes a very small amount. We're carrying the load for the Sylvania Township as well. So we really need this. This is not a county municipal court. This court needs to have costs that are more in line with the actual cost of managing these cases. It's one thing if you had, for example, I grew up in Boardman, Ohio, as I think you know. Mahoning County has a county municipal court system. Okay, so those costs of running that court are shared throughout the county, all the various costs. I noticed you gave us some statistics from a bunch of other county municipal courts. That's not us. Those numbers are not relevant to us. And they're not relevant because we are asking, you know, 19,000 people to pay the cost of, you know, a couple hundred thousand people in Northwest Ohio. That's not fair. Now, we've talked to the legislature about that, and we have not been successful. You have control over the costs that you collect, okay? And we need, you know, if we're going to go down this road, you know, I feel like you're going to come back and want us to pay your employees more, as well as your administrator, magistrate. We need help on that revenue line, and you have the authority to help us on the revenue line in ways that we can't.
And Doug, I'd be absolutely willing to commit to, I'd even partner with you to see what the other area courts are doing.
The point is, other area courts aren't relevant. They're not relevant, and here's why. We have a unique situation, okay? And if we took a more unique approach, maybe the legislature would notice and help correct this problem that we have. But we are not the same as Oregon or Maumee because of the disproportionate number of residents who are under your jurisdiction who don't contribute to your court costs, or to the true cost of the court. The only way you can recover that is through a court cost system that is closer to reality than what we do. And I've heard Scott Ramey tell me, well, I don't want to charge more than Maumee. Well, we're not the same as Maumee. and we're not the same as Oregon. And we need to take a unique, a different approach. So, you know, we're going to take this under, I'm sure we'll take this under advisement over the near term. But I need you, I request you get to do what you want, but I request you, that you take a serious look at those costs and see if we can increase our revenues.
Well, I appreciate it's a request, and I'd be happy to. And I'd be happy to work with you too, Doug, on that. You know, you mentioned it is a legislature issue, and I've heard it since day one about the shortfall. I didn't design the court, and I don't control where the money goes. The legislature tells us where it goes. But I would be happy and very willing to sit down with you and see what we can work out and see if we can get some sort of a compromise. I'm not opposed to, you know, I'm not opposed to everything.
Yeah. I know what you control and what the legislature controls. The legislature does not dictate to you your court costs. The only person who dictates court costs is you.
That's correct.
That's entirely in your bailiwick.
So, thank you for those comments, Doug. Very interesting. A little bit information for everybody. And now we're going to get back to our focus on the actual request on the table. It's been a very healthy discussion. I think that we've all had some significant questions responded to. I want to share with you that council forwarded this issue to the Employee and Community Relations Committee as part of a personnel issue. And as I listen today, I agree that this is a personnel issue, but I do feel that it would be wise and perhaps the right direction to refer this back to council as a committee of the whole issue, so that we, I feel like there's several issues at play right now, and that as having the entire council have the opportunity to have input into that would be appropriate, and let all members of council be a part of the conversation. So with that, I would like to know where the committee stands on that thought process, and if we're comfortable moving in that direction. We do have a council meeting on Monday evening.
Mary, I would like to refer this back to council so that, you know, Lindsay isn't here. We have two other non-members of the committee. I'd like to have an opportunity to discuss it with the full council.
Thank you. Is that a motion?
I'll move to refer this back to
council. So it's been moved and seconded that this issue be referred back to city council at Monday evening meeting. All committee members in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And so that will be what happens now. We'll take this back to the full council and have an additional dialogue at that time. So we thank you for your time and your input. I would invite, I hope you'd be comfortable with this, invite council members that are here that have questions following this to reach out to you directly and let you respond to anything we have thought of after you leave.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Judge.
Also, the committee members know that we do have one more issue that has surfaced that we would like to touch base on today. I did send this out in advance. I didn't send it out to all of the leadership, so not everybody has this. But Northview, there has been some interest in having us get involved with their annual art show. Northview has an annual art show for grades 9 to 12. There's hundreds of pieces of art there. They try and focus on the junior and senior advanced arts, and they give many awards during this show. There is a superintendent award, a principal's award, a parent organization award, a legacy award. I mean, they got a bazillion awards. And they thought it would be nice to have a city council award. So I reached out to Ryan Creech from the Northview Art Department, and he thought it would be wonderful to have a city council person or city council representative be involved in selecting an award. And Marcus Hansen brought this to my attention, so I'll allow him to talk as well about this. And my initial feeling on this was created a concern about setting a precedent in Northview and Southview and junior high, so that was a little concern. And then in talking with other council members, I realized that we really aren't the arts I don't have any art background. I would not be a person who would feel like I should be selecting the best of the best art. And if they want elected officials, I think the Board of Education might be something for them to consider. I also think perhaps the Savannah Arts Commission would be someone to consider. So I just wanted to open up to conversation, take the temperature of all of you. We don't need to take any formal action tonight. We certainly could invite Ryan to come in if we feel like we want more information. Marcus, if you have anything to add, I am ready to do that.
Sure. Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. So I, you know, he had invited all of the council members to the art show last May. I attended and just sent him a note, you know, saying how amazing their artwork was. And, you know, I couldn't believe the talent of everybody. And he had kind of, you know, reached back out and that's what sparked this idea. He said, how would city council like to present an art show award? And obviously that's how the committee here got involved. But to me, you know, and I respect your comments about art. To me, this isn't about art. This could be an essay contest. This could be a sporting event that they're asking city council to participate in. It's, to me, it's more about community involvement. You know, we're advocates for the community. And regardless of our background in art, I think, you know, they're reaching out to us for support. And I would like to give them the support that they're requesting. And the precedent is one thing, but North Korea is the only facility or organization at this point that has asked for us to get involved.
Does Southview do a similar program?
Good question. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
So what are they, I guess, what are they asking? They want council to come look at a bunch of artworks and you say this one's our favorite collectively? Is that kind of just?
I think they're open to whatever we want. Like if we said we want to give top three awards, they said if we want to do a monetary award, if we just want to do a big ribbon award, whatever we would want to do, if we would want to display an award somewhere. I think they would leave us a broad breadth of opportunity to do what we feel would be the right thing. And again, this isn't until next May, but I do think it's a request that's come before us. So, any feedback?
I mean, I agree with you. I don't feel qualified to judge art, but I think there's a good point about being involved in the community, and it does make a little more sense if there's other groups that also aren't qualified to judge art, judging art.
I don't know that there are, actually. You know, the superintendent, the principal, I mean, it's school people that I had heard of. That's an interesting question. Are there other people who have no art background who are involved in this judging? Again, I think we could go either way on it. You know, who would be the designated person? How does that come before city council? We generally have not been the group that approves our work. We weren't, you know, they brought two examples for the Plymouth Pool artwork and the artwork over here. And the artwork under the bridge. We didn't pick the artwork that hangs up in the on the banners. You know, they sometimes bring a sample to us. So I just think we want to be aware of those things.
Oh, I was just going to point out, you know, the memo that he had sent us, he had pointed out we currently have many involved with this, but we're hoping to have even wider community support. Yeah, so I guess that's why I'm taking the position that I am. It's, again, he's asking for support of council, regardless of whether we have any background in art, you know, because I don't either.
So if I might, Mrs. Westfall, something that I generally recall, and maybe people in the administration will be able to give me more specifics to this. Some years ago, there was some sort of an effort by artists at the high school level, and the community ended up wrapping our traffic signal boxes. There's one on the corner of Main and Monroe Street, right there by the Speedway, with some interesting artwork. I'm personally supportive of doing things like that. I think that's great. The other thing that pops to my mind is there were two different renderings of potential art murals underneath, you know, on the walkway. In both cases, somebody else selected those. but I think, you know, council obviously was supportive of that, as was the administration. I don't remember, but specifically for sure, but I was under the impression that the Sylvania Arts Commission selected those pieces that would become the wraps. Am I remembering that correctly, Mayor?
Same with the artwork under the expressway bridge.
Sylvania Arts Commission selected them.
They ran a competition for the artwork under the expressway. And we coordinated that with Northview High School. That's Northview High School's people.
So to that point, Mr. Hanson, if I recall correctly, you're the representative of the Sylvania Arts Commission?
I am, yes.
Perhaps that might be a way to go. I don't have a problem with displaying an art piece, or maybe two or three. My only concern is art is such a broad category. It's not, I mean, if we're hanging a painting on a nice painting on a wall, but art is way broader than that, as we all know. So I'm not sure putting it on display, I think is a wonderful idea. I just don't know where and how. And maybe the Sylvania Arts Commission could help us with that. And, you know, if you want to work with them and you designate, okay, you know, this is the one that we're, you know, blessing as the right piece to hang, let's, you know, that makes sense to me. But I'm completely and utterly incapable of making a selection, like, because what I know what I like, but there's lots of people that have different ideas of what is. I mean, I can look at a painting that's worth $100 million and say, I wouldn't give you $50 for that thing unless I was going to resell it, and vice versa. So that's just, to me, it may be a suggestion.
I think it's a good one. And there might be a way to have city and council have some involvement through the person that sits at the Sylvania Arts Commission table, right? That becomes an element that is part of city council, part of that conversation, and part of that judging portion.
But perhaps a recognition, you know, prior to council, we've done many things before council meetings and recognized victorious entities, athletics, and all sorts of other things, maybe prior to council, that, you know, that you would work with the Sylvania Arts Commission, select a piece of art, have that individual or individuals, if they were working on it collectively, come in and we would recognize them and display it. Would that make sense in your minds? I'm just thinking out loud again.
So it does make sense. I guess a question. Do you see it as Sylvania Arts recommending a piece to council and then council approving, or would it be more of a Sylvania Arts award?
I'm personally comfortable enough that Sylvania Arts should be empowered to make that decision on our behalf. You would be involved, or, you know, whoever that person would be in some future, member of council, whoever might be assigned to those responsibilities in the future, to make sure that it's appropriate, obviously. I'm comfortable with that. I can't speak for anybody else on council.
What I like about that is it would give us an opportunity for other council members that feel passionate about this to take a look at what's going on. You know, right now, I really don't have a clue what this is. And also, I know Steve said there's hundreds of articles.
There's a lot to look at.
So I'm thinking, you know, before we get council full board in there, we should probably know what we're getting into at some level. I feel like Sylvania Arts Commission knows art, and they may be familiar with this. So it might be a conversation with them and see if there's a way to brainstorm with them about what might that partnership look like in recognizing and awarding something to an appropriate person. And again, I think it could be more than one. You could say, we're going to do one at every level or whatever you want to do. But I think that might be a direction to go for the short term. And then let encourage council members to take a look at it next May. And if somebody feels strongly, what do you think, other committee members?
Sounds good to me.
I would recommend you reach out to Ken Diamond, the chairman of our
Sylvania Arts Commission.
and get his recommendations to this board on this. He's a very strong person there. We work well with him. Don't leave him out of the conversation.
Right. And you're familiar with him?
I know, Ken. Yes, yeah. I can reach out to him. Or unless you'd like to as chair.
You know what? Let's talk offline on this. Okay. All right. So as we leave, I don't know that, I don't think we need a formal motion, but where we'll leave this is that there'll be further exploration with the Savannah Arts Commission, and then we'll come back and report back what that conversation looks like. Everybody comfortable with that?
Sounds good.
All right. So is there a motion to adjourn? Oh, anyway, any other business to come before the committee? My apologies. You're good? Okay. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries, and this meeting stands adjourned at 6:25. Thank you all very much.